Alright, starting at the top of Tali Chedem and Aleph, four lines down, Amar Rabbo, as a Rechmat Be'a, Shel Chavir Liyam HaGadol Patur. Someone who throws his friend's coin into the Yam HaGadol is Patur. Now, Rabbi's position, we're going to see this a number of times, is that Rabbi's position is that Grumbar Ben Izikin is Patur. So your person throws a coin, his friend's coin into the Yam HaGadol, is Patur. My time up. Say, Amar, Hamanach Kamech. Says, no problem, it's right here. It's right in front of you. Go ahead and get it. Ibai chocolate. If you want, go pick it up. It's on the floor in front of you. Bahani mile, this is only true bitzvulin. If the water is clear water, so that he's able to, you know, see it, you can identify the coin. The kafazile, and he sees it. Avala kurin, if they are cloudy, right? There's sediment, there's dirt in the water, but you're unable, there's no visibility through the water.
Like
the yamanazul. That you can't see it. Well, in that instance, it would not be the case. V'hani mili, the Gemara also qualifies this, the adye aduye. That's only if the movement of the coin out of its friend's hand was created by adye aduye. We see in other places in the Gemara, where you encourage or you assist the movement of an animal, right? The Mishnah and Shabbos talks of it. So that, but here adye aduye means, or it actually describes it, that you banged his hand from underneath. He's holding the coin in his hand, and you slap his hand, and then the coin goes flying out of his hand. Aval, shekle biyadei. He took it in his hand physically. Migzo gazle. Hashava by meva. Then you're stealing, because you picked it up, you took it, and you threw it. That's literally stealing the coin, not causing or grumma binizoki.
So that was a choice of the term
azurek
is a little bit.
Right, it's not literally azurek, but azurek through derech grumma, which is through hitting his hand, so it pops the coin out of his hand. It doesn't qualify here, it's a Kurin and Tzulin, he says it's Lav Dafka. That it has nothing to do with visibility. Right? The way we learn, the way simply to read the Gemara, it seems that Rashi reads it, is it just has to do with that you can see it in front of you or not see it in front of you. Then, okay, fine. So now that you see it in front of you, it's visible to you, then you can hire somebody to go ahead and get it out of the ground for you. So it says it's all about whether you can hire a diver to get it for you or not. Is it plausible for you to return the coin or not return the coin? That'll determine whether the coin is gone or not. So the Tosafot says, Lav Dafka, Elafila Kurin, even if it's dirty, Imasi Bar Amura Lamishkalei, who, if you have some diver, can go in and get it, Havi Kitzulin, that's like clear water. Rafila Tzulin, Ilo Matin Mashkalinu, Chayav. And again, even if it's clear water, but you're unable to hire somebody or to get someone to dive down and just get you the coin, generally, clear water, visible water, it's easier for divers or someone to, you can hire somebody to go in and take it out. Right? Even till today.
But isn't
it also
should be
the grumman,
not
grumman,
what
is
the difference?
Lost. That's, once it's lost, that's not grumma, because you have to compensate. You took away the item that he had. The grumma here is that you caused him to have to lay out money to have someone dive down and get his coin. So that's what's causing the grum over here.
The hand
prevents you from making a kinyan on the item, so there's no direct gazelo. Tosafot over here discusses exactly that point. He says, "Vani mili dead to your day." He says, "Mashma hachok." Says from this it's clear. The low kashi magbal, that bumping someone else's hand like that, popping it up, is not considered a kinyan hachok.
That's not the grum. The grum is the
that you have to hire the other person to keep it out for you.
Right.
When he bumps it up without actually taking it physically in his hands, Apple Pisho made Bavir the Malami Gimel. Even though he pops it up more than Gimel Tfachim. So technically that should be a Bav. Told him she pulled the Gamri before it totally falls in. So this is, but we have other examples in Shas where if you get some air time under the object, that is classified as Hagbah. That is not simply, right, Hagbah here is not simply about you lifting it. But when you pop it up, that there is other places, talks Gemara and Bavinsiya and Zaki, and he brings a couple of Gemaras. So now, in the end, he says, this is an interesting, that's an interesting qualification. Then he says, Yesh Lomar, the Dafka Hocho and Nizokin Lo Chashiva Ha'ba. Not only here and in Nizokin, it's a Gemara and Gittin, right? That's where it's not considered Ba'ba. You could Tarte Ligriusa. You have two negative points over here. That's the low Tafsan. You don't actually physically pick them up. Vegam, right. Vegam ain magbiya ala mashpil. And your objective is not to get the coin into the air, but get it down onto the ground. So he says, but if you were to rectify either one of those, which is that you physically pick it up, or, right, you were looking to get it up, not down, right, derech aliyah versus derech yirida, that either one of those could make it into a, possibly a kinyan. over here that would qualify for the qualify for you to be a banah. Tosus then says inam. He says, well, maybe there's no difference between derech aliyah and derech yiridah. But he says that juye is ain derech hagbah b'zinyan. That's just not the way people do hagbah. That's not the way you do hagbah. There's no kinyan over here. There's no kinyan over here. You're not a gazlan. Oh, you caused your friend a loss. What's a friend? He has to now go get a diver to get it out of the ground. That is grama b'nizokin. That's your potter for. The fact that the coin's gone, if the coin's gone immediately, then that's no gemara anymore, because we're going to see in a second, we know that from the gemara, that if you smack the wall, right next, you know, if you smack somebody's ear, right, and then they go deaf, you're still chayav. That's not classified as grama, even though it's not the hit itself, the physical impact that makes the person deaf. But that was the cause of the person's deafness. So you have to, right over here again, you have to differentiate between how the, what's the status of the coin immediately versus the outlays he has to make to return the coin. Right, so now, Meiti Brava, Ein Mechalalein Al Ma'ot She'enan Bershuto. So Rava says, wait, we have a principle by Meister Sheni, you cannot be Mechalel, you cannot redeem the stuff on money that is not in his possession. Ketzad, what's considered not being in his possession? Hayolo Ma'ot V'Kistera, he had a money in a place called Kistera, or Behara Melech, right, or in Har Melech. What Rashi calls this place Kistera, it's interesting how Rashi defines it. What's considered a place where you can't, the money is not in your possession, lo matzuido. Rashi says, v'hu rachok me'od, it's very far away. V'yesh bo sakanat derechim, it's dangerous to get there. V'chayru it's mitzuyotcha, and there's not regular traffic to those areas. And so Rashi has a very high standard of what's considered you can't get there. That's too far, dangerous, and not heavy traffic that's going there. Alright, so now, oh, shenafal kiso the yamagado. Or his wallet fell into Yamagadol. Ein mechalulin. Then you can't be mechalul. So wait a minute. That's chilul over here. His wallet or his money pouch fell into the Yamagadol. We just said before, according to Rabbah, falling into the Yamagadol is not considered outside of your possession or outside of your reach. That's within your reach. So why shouldn't it be? So it's Amar Rabbah, shiny linyan meister. You're talking about meister sheni. The beinim matzui biyadecha. The higher standard, by Meister Sheni is that it actually is physically found in your hand. You have to actually have the coin. The Rachmana Amar, Vitzarta Kesef Fiya Decha, Veleka. That you're missing. You're lacking the physical proximity. It's not just about ownership, right? It's about physically holding it, the ability to take it in your hand and be redeem it.
You could have mentioned
someone, right. Dovosos mentions that, I think. Somebody mentions that here, that could have been the answer. That you could have distinguished between Mayim HaKurim and Eino Mayim HaKurim. The Gemara is a strong answer. Right. There's a stronger answer over here that which is. Right. It's not the
case.
Right. V'amar Rabbo, Hashaf Matbeah Shel Chavero Patur. Someone who ruins the coin of his friend is Patur. Now, my time, Dalaviz Velo Midit. That's because he didn't do anything. By ruining the coin, he didn't do anything. Mar says, Bahani Mile, what do I mean ruining the coin, I didn't do anything? That is the Machia Bukurnitsa Retarshe. He smashed it with a hammer. So by smashing the coin with a hammer, he basically took the image that was on the coin and flattened it out into the coin. Aval Shaifa Bishufina, but on the other hand, if he took some sort of file and filed it down, Chatsure Chatsure, then he actually took away from the physical coin. He didn't simply compact the coin. He actually took pieces of the coin away. So that, you'll see in a second, but we understand the difference here because coinage, again, in their time is about weight and physical weight of the coin, which you're going to see in the Gemara in a second. So over here, he hasn't changed. By hammering the coin, he changed the image, but the physical weight that's present there, the metal that's there, is still there. Whereas when you shave it down, then there's actually metal missing from the coin.
It's no longer a coin.
So, right. So there we have to ask it. But no longer being a coin, right, is a grama. And grama is a grama nizakin, is patur. Because his hammering of the coin does not change the actual value of the coin. The fact that it now is unable to go out and purchase things or do things with it, that's a grama that he caused them. He could just reform the coin. All the materials are still there. He considers that grama nizakin. So makes it grama. He called a novit some ah, but he hits him on his eye. It's an ebit nani. Hits him on his eye and he blinds him. Alos nova charsho, hits him on his ear and he deafens him. Ebit yotzei behem lechirut. You go, ebit goes free for those items. Keneged eino, right? If he does it near his eye, ve'eino ro'eh, and he doesn't see him. Keneged ozno ve'eino shomea. opposite is hearing, he doesn't hear. In Eved Yotzei Behen Achirut, that's not considered a Rei Maka. That's considered Grama. So now he says, well, I show you from this Eved Knani that when do we say, wait, we know that Grama is Patur, that's Grama Paturim. What is this question on Rabba? His question on Rabba is, I see by the Eved Knani, I still require physical contact with the, right, once I've got physical contact with the ear, if I made physical touch or took contact with the ear, then I'm considered responsible for the Eved Knani's deafness or the Eved Knani's blindness. So anytime I make physical contact, right, maybe that is what defines whether it's Grumma or not Grumma. I mean, Grumma is not about whether you directly caused the deafness, but rather that I made physical contact with the body, that already makes me responsible for any results of what happens to the body. So it's over here. I made physical contact with the coin, with the hammer, right? That should be enough to make me responsible, even though the outcome or the loss that's caused here is caused by the fact that now the coin is not usable in the market, not because of the actual hammer that I did. So Rabba the Tameh, we had Rabba before, this is Rabba's going to reason. The Amar Rabba, Karsho, the Aviv Neherak. Right, a person who causes his father to go deaf is put to, has the death penalty, even though there's an underlying a requirement that in order to be put to death for hitting one's parents, they have to create a chabura. So how could it be here? If you smack him by the ear, there's no chabura. Why should be chabura? She has shalach harisha, below chabura the tipta the dam nafalat. Right, the Rabba, according to his own reasoning, that smacking in the ear, beudne, right, it should be beudne, that any time you hit an ear and you cause the deafness, it's because some blood, there was an internal bleeding that caused the deafness. So Rabba's basic position is, why by Eved Knani are you chayav for the physical contact? Not for the physical contact itself, but rather because of the bleeding, the internal chuburua that took place. So here in our instance, where he smacks it, right, with the hammer, right, then we don't have that same principle. We don't have that chisaron that took place because all the coin, the full coin, is still there. All the metal, everything that's there is in place. The only thing you did was you caused the grama because there's no image on the coin now that the coin can't be used in the, or you know, taken out to purchase things with it. So now,
sending with the eye also.
You have to argue the same thing by the eye that there's some sort of internal kabura that's taking place. I'm assuming that it's not just a Tosfos asks over here that don't we have a principle that you have to have by an Eved Knani, one of the principles of why the Torah uses Shane and Ayin as examples of the things that are, one of them is that it has to be Mikaloi. It has to be something, it has to be an Eber that is exposed. Over here he's doing damage to the Eber that is not an exposed manner. It's doing it as something that's an internal
the result of being exposed,
but
okay, so that's, you guys are giving, Tosfos offers a number of answers, both of you are suggesting. So the answer says, first of all, one possibility is that not that the chabura has to be external, but the hit, the physical contact with the body has to be on an external aver, and that he did. The fact that it caused an internal bleeding, but it was done on an aver that's befut, or the other thing is that it has to be visible, it doesn't fit, has to be visible. So true, if an Eved is just standing there, you may not know, but as soon as he starts to walk or move around, it's visible. The deafness that was caused here is an obvious deafness, or an obvious deficit in the Eved, and that is considered or classified as galui.
So if you want to be hit with it from the back somehow, but then it's not connected.
Right, if the in an Eved that's exposed, but there, those give two reasons why it's still considered an Eved big galui. Right now, V'amar Rabba, Hatsurim Ozen Parato Shel Chavero Patur. You go ahead, and again, we talked about Tzurim Ozen earlier. The Mishnah, it sounds like he makes some sort of mum, right? Some sort of cut into the animal. Now, that'll make it Patsul Limizbeach, but doesn't change the status of the animal itself. The animal can perform the same work it did before. It's still kasher in terms of Shechita in order to eat it. The only thing it does is prevents it from getting on the Mizbeach. My Taima. Para de Kaima Kaima. Right, the parah is the same parah. He didn't change anything about the parah. It's still the same parah. Belavid, velomide. He says that he didn't do anything. I mean, he didn't change this parah in any way. Bekulu shvarim, lav degabe mizbeach kaimi. We saw this by the Mishnah, that not every shore has to end up on the mizbeach. That's not a definition of a shore. It does not mean that it can be on the mizbeach. Right, the definition of a shore is it can perform work. It can be eaten. Right, those are things that you would expect from a shore. The fact that a shore can get on the mizbeach, it's not a given, because there's so many other things that can make a shore patsul from ending up in the mizbeach. The fact that you ruined it from going to the mizbeach, That's not considered a nezek. That's only considered a grama, and you won't be chayav. So meiti rova a zemelach rabbe mechatzad.
He
doesn't have
only the
shari.
He didn't say
Harizu.
So now this would force him to.
Well, the Dabba would be the better question.
Right, the Dabba is a better question. That is already a Grama.
What's
going on? See, what you're suggesting is also Grama, because his making the shore forces him to go do something else. That's already Grama. But the question that Tzvi's asking is what happened is that if the animal itself is Kodesh, then it is kind of a Lamizbeh.
I definitely didn't ask that.
Right.
That's already.
So that's the Tosus distinguishes. It says Bar Mishnah, which says that it is. Where you are Chayav is a case where it's kind of a Lamizbeh. If it is time in the Mizbech, and then you put a mum in it, then you are actually causing a loss, because now it was going to Mizbech, and now you changed it, right? You changed the status.
The market price
for Mizbech.
It has nothing to do with the
carbon. Right. That's what it sounds like, right. Someone says work with Mechatat. So here we're talking about the water that's going to be used, right, for Paraduma. So Parat Chatat, or does work with the Parat itself, the Paraduma itself, Patur. Midnei Adam, v'chayev midnei Shemayim. Patur from Midnei Adam, v'chayev midnei Shemayim. The reason that you're putur in all these instances is because you're doing malacha, where the hezek is not nikar. The fact that you worked ashore is not a visible mum in the paraduma. About torim, in a case where you actually put a physical wound into the animal, the minkar hezeka is obvious hezek that you're producing over here. Sounds like from this, right? This case here, this, right, so they were quoting that you would be chayav for damage that is minkar, that is visible, and that would go against Rabbi's position here, which is that Tremos no, that is patur. Scribe says, Imre, who is in, dafilu tzorem patur. And Ophanami, no, even if you cut the ear, you're patur. Ba'akamash malan, and what we're doing over here is dafilu malocha tzlo minkar zeka chayav yidin shemayim. That the kamash malan over here is not that you are patur midin adam. But even when you do hezek shein nikar in the animal, nevertheless you're still chayav b'dinei shemayim because you caused a huge loss over here. You caused the paraduma no longer to be a valid paraduma to be able to use for the afer paraduma, and that is a loss that you're going to be held accountable for b'dinei shemayim. Bama Rabba, hatsureif shtaro shochaveiro patur. This is a Gemara case that we dealt with earlier in the Gemara. Right? There we said that a person burns another person's shtar. Now this is a shtar that has documentation of a loan, documentation of rights in it. And he goes in, he burns the paper, it's patur. Why? Damalei, naira kalai, mina. Says, I just burnt up a piece of paper. I didn't do any damage to you. I just listed it. You want your paper back? I'll give you paper back. So the man says, Matin Slarayim Barchama, Echi Dami. What's the case over here? I mean, this sounds nice. That's a nice statement, but is this really true? Says, oh, if there are witnesses around that know that what was contained in the shtar, then they can reproduce the shtar that he has, and really there is no loss here. So what's the chiddush of Rabba? We don't need Rabba to tell us that they can reproduce the shtar that he's patur. Obviously, if they can reproduce the shtar, he's patur. And Tosfos is interesting. Tosfos has a question of here. How could they write him a new shtar? Because we have a general principle, it says, that you have to, when it comes to testimony, you have to hear testimony directly from the witnesses, not from Ktavam, what's written. Now, if you know what's contained in the shtar, what's written in the shtar, then when you go ahead and replicate the shtar from him, basically what you're doing is saying, it's me, Ktavam. They wrote something in the shtar, you saw what they wrote, and based on what they wrote, you're going to replicate the shtar. You're not doing it based on what the witnesses told you transpired.
Well,
yeah, but by doing that, then it becomes
right. Let's say I saw shtar, this was the shtar.
Right. But he doesn't want that. They want to have a new shtar that he can make a claim with. So that's it. Now the Gemara says that we have a principle. If you remember, it's a principle that we established when we were learning Sukkot. That edim achatumim al shtar. When edim are signed a shtar, it's kenechram edutam bebeisin. So kumar avis, their edus was checked out in beisin and was cleared and, you know, proved by Beisdin. So because of that, that is if now that we saw these Eidim testify and Nechvah them by Beisdin. Once you have a document that has Eidim signed on it and has the classification or the qualification that it is Kenechra Eidutan by Beisdin, that's as if then when you look at a star with Eidim on it, it's as if you're hearing it in the basin, and you can write. That yes, is basically what you can write. You can write that we were in basic pony pony, and we know that they, you know, they wrote this or they signed this. I mean, obviously here he doesn't write basin, but they're reading over the shtar, they're basically witnessing something that took place in basin, the equivalent of that, and therefore they can rewrite the shtar. Alright, now what's the other possibility? He's elected Sade, right? If there are no witnesses to replicate the shtar, then Anan Menayadina. How do we know what's written in the shtar? I mean, what claim does the guy who owns the paper, what claim does he have here? We have no clue what was written in the shtar. He comes by and says, you know, my shtar had a, you know, big contract in it and you burnt it up. The other guy says, I don't know, it was a piece of paper that I saw. So how do we have any evidence that there was actually something on the shtar? Excuse me, Amar Rava. Hey, Bamami, no. The case where he believes him. Now, the Gerson Rashi is Mamino is Balashtar Lisorate, that the Balashtar believed to the person who burnt it. It doesn't make so much sense. You see that the right, it should be the other way. The Yamshir Shlomo reverses it, which makes much more sense, is that the Soreif believed the Balashtar, that's what was actually contained inside the Shtar. Even though he is Patur.
How do we know that the Shtar was not paid off? And there wasn't
stamps, you know. Right, it's not involved. All they did, they see a star, right. A valid star, and they can rewrite. They replicate what was there before.
Yeah, that's what it was at the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, all they've done is recreated the situation that was there before. Whether it was paid off or not, that's a separate issue. So Rav Divi Bar Chanina had the Rabbi Machloket, Rabbi Shimon Rabbanani. This position of Rabbi is not so straightforward. Happens to be Machloket, Rabbi Shimon Rabbanani. Why? So Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Davar, Gorim, Damamon, Kimomon, Dami, an object that causes the ability to get out of monetary payment. Or gain monetary payment, you are chayav. The Rabbanan Dami Dabra going the moon, lock the moon, Dami Loma Chayav. In that case, you would not be chayav. So that's exactly what a star is. A star is a davar of Gorim the Mamon. The star itself has no inherent value, meaning that the star itself is not what's the value. Right? It's paper. What's valuable is that it gives you the ability to do something based on what is contained in the star. So that's a davar of Gorim the Mamon. And that will be chayav or patur, depending on who you hold like. So, Gemara says, "Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua imar dishmai le Rav Shimon davar gorim lamamon kandami the davar shikro mamon." That's when Rav Shimon says that something is a gorim lamamon is your chayav. That's when the item itself has inherent value. Right? Not here. Here we don't have an item that has inherent value, which is a paper. Right? Then the paper allows you to get the payment. But when Rav Shimon says your chayav is when the actual object has inherent value, somehow that inherent value has been suppressed. And because the inherent value has been suppressed, it's still a gorim lamamon because you can do something with it, but it doesn't have it.
But the thing that you can return.
Exactly. That's what I said. Because the rabbi, Dama rabbi, Gazal chamet b'tnef, Pesach is still chamet for Pesach, Baruch Hashem Sorfo. But someone else comes and burns it. Now, if they did it for Mo'ed, right? Rashi over here says Mo'ed is Erev Pesach, after the Zman Yisur chamet. Which we have in the Mishnah in Pesachim, there is divine Moed can be then, or Moed could also be Chol Moed. But anyway, any time during a period where it's Asur to have Chametz, then you still have a requirement to burn the Chametz. Then it's Patur. Shagom Tzuvim Alav Levayro. Right? The requirement of Chametz and Pesach is to burn it and get rid of it. So all he did was what was supposed to happen, which was burn the Chametz. But if you have the Chametz after Pesach, Machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. That is exactly where we have this machlokas of Rabbi Shimon Rabban about Davar Gorim Namamon. Rabbi Shimon Davar Davar Gorim Namamon Kamamon Dami Chayav. Then, if you go and burn Gazlan Chametz that was over Alav Pesach, then you're Chayav. Why? Because the Gazlan sort of taken the Chametz, handed it back to the Levim, and said, Harishakha Lifanecha. Now here, Chametz had inherent value. The object itself had inherent value. That inherent value was destroyed by the fact that it was over Alav Pesach, and now it's Asur, right, because of the Isur of Pesach. But nevertheless, the object itself has inherent value. That was removed by the Isur, and they can say, Arishal Chalafanecha, that's Darar Gorim Namamon. Rabbana Dami Darar Gorim Namamon Lav Kumamon Dami Patur. Here again, burnt Chametz is also Bana. Oh, fine, because that's Arishal Chalafanecha. That's only a Darar Gorim Namamon. That is Patur. So Mar says, the Dover Sheni Karo Mamon Mi Amrina. When the object itself does not have inherent value, who says that that's the case? You can say, Arishal Chalafanecha. So Amar Meimar, Mant Zayin Zinei Garme. Whoever has done dinei garmi, magi beit mei shtarim ma'aliyu. So whoever is done dinei garmi. Now garmi again is the point in time somewhere between grama and viyadayim. Right, grama is something where you have indirect cause, right, and there's no, we can't say that there's direct relationship, right? It's an indirect cause. First is not viyadayim, which is where you physically do the damage. So garmi is something that sits in between, which is that. the relationship between what you did and what actually happened is a little closer than grama, but it's not exactly biyadayim. So in those cases of garmi, right, whoever says that it's not dinner garmi, you can go and claim it. The shtar, and make a claim and say that you caused me a loss. Now this loss is not a loss of inherent value. It's not because you destroyed the shtar itself that you took away my inherent value of paper. No, that's not what we're after. What it is that by burning the shtar, you caused my direct inability to collect on this item. So that is din de garmi. If you're done din de garmi, then you'll be chayav in the case of a shtar. Man de lo done din de garmi, man de vez men yirari yabalma. Or it's not done din de garmi. The only loss I caused you is I burnt you a piece of paper. Want a piece of paper? I'll give you back your piece of paper. That's the loss that I incurred here.
And it's not just about garmi.
Right. It's about din de garmi. Maybe. We don't know. Zavar garmi one, we don't know. It only applies by things with inherent value. Mom won't mean that they had at some point inherent value. Or even applies here. The Gemara says, we just don't know. So then we have to remove so that the machloket here is really about dan din and gamay or not. But we see that Rabbah's position is still machloket depending on how you view dan din and gamay. Abu Uvda, so there's a case, the kafya Rafram, the Rav Ashi. It's the case here that Rafram forced Rav Ashi, Vagbek and Kishua the Talmud. And he went ahead and he took away from him his best wood to pay back for something. So what's going on here? Rav Ram is doing Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was a thief, and he was done dinner the garmei. Rav Ram came and took it out of Rav Ashi. I mean, it sounds a little strange. So Rashi says about this case, Rav Ashi shasara shtar chaveru v'yalduto. Rav Ashi, when he was a kid, burned someone else's, burned the guy's shtar up, playing around with the matches or something. Burned the guy's shtar. He took full payment out of Rav Ashi. Everything that was written in the shtar, he said, you got to pay, Rav Ashi. When the best of Rav Ashi's property, like the best beans.
Even
though
he's a kid.
Right, so talking about Surat, with the uncles, right? That's it. See, the issue here is, what does that mean? Be'al Kuto over here, right? Because the Katan is Fatur. And we said that's different than an Isha and an Eved who later on is Kayab.
No,
that's the other way around. Kadan, Tikiya, Dan, Raj, because that when they become older, right, they're Padur the Gamre, as opposed to Nisha, and an Eved, where their Choser is not, they're Padur, because their inability to pay, not because they really are Paturim. Two possibilities here. Yalduto is either not literally Yalduto, but above the age of Yalduto, means above the age of Katan. Or if you want to suggest that Rashi really means a Katan here, right, then you have to say two possibilities. And what it means, katan, is that safely de shamayim, which is not, it's not that he's obligated to do it, but it's a good thing to do. Or the other possibility, which is much harder, is to say that he's really obligated to pay back. That a katan, even though he does damage, that when he becomes a gadol, he has to go out there and rectify it. Not that safely de shamayim, but actually midine adam, which is a very much more extreme shita to say such a thing, or to explain Rashi in this way. Right, chametz, v'alava pesach, omer arashel chalapanecha, Mishnah says, minyan et yoma, you have chametz, it's over alava pesach, you can say arashel chalapanecha. Man tano omrim bisriya na arashel chalapanecha. Who's the tano who actually says that arashel chalapanecha by yisriya na? So I'm Rav Gitzer, Rabbi Yaakov, it's Rabbi Yaakov, the Zayin Yishor, Shemit, Achigo, Nigmar, Dino, Yishor, that was killed, right, and that was a death sentence, but the sentence hasn't been handed down yet. Machro machur, if he sells it, it's a good sale. If he show mukdash, his makdishin, it goes to the kodesh. Shachatov b'saro mutar. If he shechs it, the basar is mutar. Ekziro, shomer, the balav, mukzar. If the shomer returns it to its owner, it's mukzar. So all these kids before the Gemara Din, no, the Gemara Din will never happen. Because we need mitchila tzof, we need the same balim. By selling it, being makdishin, by the shomer giving back to the balim, all that, excuse me, makes it mufka from the din of, or the Gemara din that it has. And the case of the Shomer Lebalav, that in that case it might be able to be tried, but the Shomer gave it back and can say, Shokal Fenecha. Mishini Gemara Dino, once there's a Gemara din, Machro and a Machur sells it, it doesn't matter, he's showing a Mukdash, Shkatov, Saru Atsur, Ekziro Shomer Lebalav, Enu Mukhzar. All this, once the Nigmar Din, the shore is a dead shore, it's Usurbana. Once it's Usurbana, you don't have any ability to create kinyanim, generate changes in ownership, hand it back, and say, Roshel Chalapanecha. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Af Mishin Army Doer, Zero Shomer, the Balav Mukhzak. The Yaakov says, oh, by a Shomer, if he hands it back, he was given a shore, he handed back a shore. Alright, so Zurba, no, now, but that is a factor that is not obvious or visible to anybody. The fact that he hands it back, he handed him a shore back. My love, but how come it's like it? This is the argument. Rachel Sover Omrim Bisurei Narishel Chalafanecha. Rachel believes by Yisurei. Oh, you can say Narishel Chalafanecha. That's the sure. That Nigmar Dino. Sure, that is Omrim Bisakel. But in Sover, in Omrim Bisurei Narishel Chalafanecha, that will be the machlokus. Similarly, Rabba Lo, the Kule Alma Rinam Bisurei Narishel Chalafanecha. Everybody agrees by Yisurei. Now you can say Narishel Chalafanecha. Team came. If it wasn't this way, right? Nitzla Gruba Chametz Pesach. They should have argued about Chametz Pesach. What are you getting involved with Shura Niskal? If you're just talking about Yisrael, no, I'll make a simple case. I'll give you a simple case of Shura Yisrael. No, that's Chametz Pesach. And just argue about this. What are you talking about? Gmar Din, no Gmar Din. Chametz Pesach, straight out. That's what they're about. No, and that's it. Right, our case. El Amar Rabo, Hofka, become Rim Dino Shur Shur Shalom Fanav Chametz Legit. Question is, can you regomer the din of the Shur without the Balim being present? That's the question at hand. Then you can't be gomer the din without the balim being present. What can the balim say to him? Says, had I had the shore over here, I would have taken it out to the agam. I would not made the shore available to be a try here in court. And now, Gemara already, we have this exact Gemara, right? It tells us over there, discussed it. Over here, it's not, and he says, listen, you went there now, handed over to Basin, and now you put it in a position where I can't remove it, I can't do anything about the situation. You basically put it into a position where I can't do anything to rectify the situation, or at least escape the din over here. The fact that you did that, you're the one who caused me the loss, because you presented the shore to the basin to allow the basin to try the shore. I could have prevented the shore from ever showing up, and since the shore wasn't here, there would never have been a Gemara din about the shore, because I would have gotten it out of the way. I would have made sure it never ended up in the Yaakov Savar. Gomi Dino Shashur, Shalom Fanav. We were Gomi the din of a shore, even when the shore is not present. The shore is not present, we don't care. The Amr Lay, my Amr Lay. So, if I'm a Gomi Lay Dino, I didn't do anything, Shalom Fanav. Even if you took it out to the Agam, they were going to be Gomi the din of the shore, whether the shore is here or not, doesn't matter. So, my bringing it to Beis Din makes no difference, because we still have the same outcome. The same outcome is that there's going to be a Gemara din to the shore, whether it's here or not here. So my bringing the basin didn't affect you. Sha'ashkeche Rav Chista, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel. So Rav Chista, who is the original one who suggested Rav Yaakov was the author of our position of that, you can say by Yisurei Anah, Yisurei Chalaf, and Echad, and Rav Anah disagree. He bumped into Rabbi Shmuel, and like, Tanita Mide Bitzurei Anah. Did you guys learn something about, do you have like some price about this din of Yisurei Anah? I'm like, yeah, we do. Tanita. Beishivit Zeylach. I have to turn what you stole. Matam alomer asher gazal. What do you mean, asher gazal? Yachzir keinchi gazal. You have to get back, like what he stole. We kind of move gazal matzbeyam nistal. Steal a coin and it's no longer valid. Perol to your kibo. Or perol, and they rotted yain v'chmit. Or wine and it became vinegar. Truma v'nitzmeid. Right, truma v'nitzmeid. Chmeid v'rolav v'pesach. Bema v'nevda v'veira. An animal that has a veira did it for sure. Ashlo nigmar dino. Omer arir omer lo shalchav lefanecha. Man shmaik le dam ashlo nigmar din in mishin nigmar dino lo. Who says until the nigmar din? They says yes. After the nigmar din says no. That is the rabbanon. And yet the rabbanon here say chametz varlava pesach omer lo shalchav lefanecha. So what do you see? The rabbanon clearly holds that even by yisurei hanah you can say arir shalchav lefanecha. The exceptional case is, sure, Shura Niskal will matter before Gemar Din or after Gemar Din. Who makes that distinction? That's the Rabbanon. And despite the fact that the Rabbanon, the Brisa still says explicitly, Chamech Shavala V'Pesach, you can hand it back to the Nigzal and say, Yerushal Chalafanecha. Rav Chista tried to say before that that was the machlokus between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon, was whether you say Yerushal Chalafanecha B'Yisrael or not. He, according to Rav Yaakov, according to Rav Chista, I'm sorry, according to Rav Chista, he said, What's the machlokus between Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon? Is whether you say Yerushal Chalafanecha or not by Yisurei Hanah.
But that's
Rabbi's claim against him. Rabbi says, I've proved to you you're wrong because that. But still, that's one Amora against another Amora. Now Rav Chizda has an explicit right that it says that he's wrong. If you bump into the rest of the Bnei Yeshiva, please don't tell them what you heard. And he says, that goes against my position explaining the Machlokes between Rav Yaakov and the Rabbanon. And if you have this brisa, then it's clear that I'm wrong about explaining their Machlokes in such a manner. So you see that it wasn't, Rabba's position wasn't enough to convince him that he was wrong, until the Arai is an explicit brisa, which basically says that he is incorrect in explaining the Machlokes this way. Alright, Peros be a kibo, Meir Shalom, Lufanecha, Peros that rot, Right? You can say Eretz Yisrael Chofen Hechem, but now we have a Mishnah, Perubi Akiva, Mishalem, Shad Gzela. Sounds like what? There is a Kenyan. And there is, you can't say Eretz Yisrael Chofen Hechem, Amar Papa, Kasher Kibu Kulan, Kasher Kibu Mikzatan. Depends how rotted they are. They're all rotted through and through, then that's a Shinu, enough of a Shinu where you can't say Eretz Yisrael Chofen Hechem. If they've deteriorated slightly, right, or there's a portion of them that are deteriorated, that's still classified as fruit, then you can say, Arishokha, look panecha, you're handing back the same fruits. Alright, now, new Mishnah, natan l'umnin. You hand an object to a craftsman, l'takein to fix, v'kil kilo. And instead of fixing it, he broke it. Ka'ibim l'shalem. The craftsman, the person who was working on it, has to pay for this. Natan l'charish, charish shida teva migdal, give it to a wood working person, right, to a, carpenter, a shida tevo migdal, right, you give them objects that are made of wood, Rashi calls a shida, a wagon, something that goes in the back of a wagon in which the women used to sit on, so some sort of carriage, right, type of thing, a teva and a migdal are called like dressers or armoires of sorts, so you gave them a takein, so I've never fixed, ooh, the vikil kel, and he destroyed it, or he did something wrong to it, chayav l'shalim. Vabanai, shekila alav l'store at a kotel. You have some sort of contractor, right, that was hired to knock down a wall. But he didn't just knock down the wall, he destroyed, he broke the stones that were the wall. And then when I say take down a wall, I mean take down the wall and leave the stones intact because they're usable somewhere else. I don't mean break the stones to take down the wall. Or he somehow did damage to these rocks. Chayav l'shalim. He has to pay for them. If he's so there on one side and they fall to the other side, patur. Then he's patur. If they fall on the other side because he hit them, the strength of the hit to knock the wall down, then he's chayav. Again, all we have to do is discuss in the mark. Now, Amar Avasi, lo shanu ela shenatan l'charesh sheidat teva migdal l'na'itz v'hen masmer. That's only if he handed to them to put a nail into it. V'na'itz v'hen masmer, and by placing, when he went to smack the nail into them, shibran, it broke. Aval natan l'charesh itzin, he gave them wood. So sheidat teva migdal, makes them into these objects. V'asaba en sheidat teva migdal v'shibran, and he makes the object. And then he breaks them, it's patur. Then he's patur, my time. What's the reason? Uman kone b'shevach kli. The uman owns the improvement in the object that he works on. I mean, that's how he gets compensated in the end. Compensated in the end is that he trades the value that he created in the object for the money. That's how he gets compensated. So here, what did he do? He took wood, and he made the wood into something valuable. When he made it, changed it from wood to the valuable part, what the original owners own is wood. What the uman owns is any increase in value between wood and what the object exists now.
So
he puts on the shiva.
He's paying the value of the wood.
Right, he has to replace the wood, but now if he can take it apart and hand it back the wood, or whatever he can do, he can hand it back the same wood, then that's what he returns to him. He does not have to return to him as Shida Teva and Migdal, because he owns the Shida Teva and Migdal. It's broken. It's not like he made it for the Balaim, now the Balaim owned it, and he broke the Balaim's object. No, he broke his own object. Break his own object, so now he's not entitled to payment for the work he did. So he lost out all his labor, but he didn't. Right, obviously. Then obviously he wouldn't own it anymore. Kone b'sheva chli. None. Our Mishnah. Not on the name b'kilkalo. Chayavim l'shalim. The first line in our Mishnah. Give it to a craftsman to work on it. And then he breaks it. Chayav l'shalim. I love the Ayav l'Eitzim. I gave him wood to make it to something. No. Someone says, look. Shida David Migdal. He handed him a Shida David Migdal. Someone says, why do you need that? That's the next line in the Mishnah. I mean, the first line of Mishnah is that you gave it to craftsmen and they messed it up. Then the Mishnah goes, okay, and if you give him a Shida David Migdal, he's also... Right? Then he's also chayav. So what do you have to tell me twice? It's the same din. That doesn't make sense. So how many times say for shita teva migdal? It's called the reisha etzim. The case in the reisha etzim. Imre perushe kamefarishla. No, the Mishnah is continuing to explain. This is the header. There's a koteris in the Mishnah. What's the koteris in the Mishnah? A craftsman that messes something up is chayav. What's that case? That's the case. Right hand the mashedah teva migdal and he breaks it. Okay, then natan l'umnim l'takeim b'kuklo chayvim l'shalem. Gone. Like what? Not on the cherish the teva migdal. That's it. Okanami mistafra. That makes sense that we're saying the case of tani. He talked about the reisha etzim. Right? If the reisha etzim and etzim hashdash mean an etzim chayavim l'shalem. In a case where he gave him raw wood and he made it into something, there is chayav l'shalem. V'lo amrin an uman kone b'shevach kelim. And we don't establish that principle. The uman basically becomes the owner of the object for any increased value here. Sheda teva migdal mi bayit. Then what do you need to tell me the next case in the Mishnah? Right, it's a kosher king, because if you already got chayav etzim, then certainly when you hand him a finished object, then he's going to be chayav. Right, it's ishum halo area. Because of that, that's not a valid reason to say that the Mishnah didn't lead in this way. Why? Tani sefer l'gluy ereisha. Because that's a sefer. How would they explain the
Kiddush?
Right, how would they explain the case of the Kilkel HaUmim? That first case in the Mishnah, I would explain the Sheda Teva Migdal. Now that it's explicit in the Mishnah Sheda Teva Migdal, then I go back and explain the first case in the Mishnah as being a case of Itzit. So the reason I learned that Kiddush is because the second thing is written. Shlotamar, so you won't say Reisha Teva Teva Migdal about Itzim Lo. So therefore, you wrote Tana Sefer Sheda Teva Migdal Mechmal the Reisha Itzim. That's the reason. Ve'afilu hachi chayav l'shalem. And nevertheless, he is chayav l'shalem. So that the wording of the Mishnah is not, does not teach us that. But in Nachanami, you could read the Mishnah as being a parish to mefarish. You don't have evidence from the text itself that that's the way to read the Mishnah. But nevertheless, that is a possibility of reading that Mishnah that way. If that's a possibility of reading the Mishnah that way, I have no evidence from our Mishnah what the first case in the Mishnah is. Is the first case in the Mishnah a koteret? And then it's defined by Sheda Teva Migdal afterwards, Sheda Teva Migdal afterwards, or is the first case in the Mishnah a different case? A case of Eitzim, and not a case of Sheda Teva Migdal. And the reason I wrote both of them is to teach me that's what exactly the first case is in the Mishnah. So now I can't have any evidence against or for Rav Asi from our Mishnah. Right? Either way, it's readable. You can read it either way, and I don't have evidence in either direction. So it's funny, Tosafot points out over here that the Gemara in other places asks, wait, how can you say Parushi Kam and Farish? The Mishnah itself says Chayav twice. It says Koteret Chayav, and then it brings the case and says case side, and then writes Chayav. So if it says Gemara in other places, that's but a Mishnah, how can you say that the Mishnah has a Koteret and is then defining something afterwards? So it shouldn't write the word Chayav twice. It only needs to write the word Chayav once. Right, you write Chayav once, and then you say case side, this is the case. Or you don't write Chayav in the first case, write Kilkel Umat, case side, and then you write Chayav in that case. You can't write it twice. So it says, he doesn't know why, but the Gemara in some places worries about that. In some places, it does not worry about that. That sometimes they look at the Mishnah and say, it says Chayavim twice, and we're not going to learn it that way. Other cases, it says Chayavim twice, it ignores it, and like in our case here, it says, fine, you can perish and come and farish. I don't know, you know, it's not clear, but maybe here that the Gemara is just saying that they redokhe the fact. They want, either they want the halacha to go in a certain direction, or, in this case, it's just saying that's not overwhelming evidence. You know, in another case where you want to establish the Mishnah that way, and you want to bring proof that this is the way to read it, fine. Over here, our Mishnah's not trying, they're not trying to bring proof how to read the Mishnah. Right, you're saying, I can just say that you don't have to read the Mishnah this way. Right, I don't have to read the Mishnah this way. There, where we're just being doche and pushing it away, then we have a lower standard of what it means to remove the evidence that against the Rav Asi's claim over here. Again, I don't think it's a strong answer. Just the point that Tosafot makes that the Gemara is not consistent in all of these areas.
And the Gemara says,